turn to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis 41. We'll start reading on verse 37, Genesis 41, verse 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God hath showed thee all this, There is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried on before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Saphnath-Paniah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, and Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word, for all the hidden things that we always continue to find. Lord, we just pray that you would suit a blessing to every heart that's here, that you would open up eyes to see and hearts to understand. Lord, and if anyone here is not saved, I pray that you prick his heart, that you would call him even this morning. I pray for souls to get saved. And above all, my Father, I pray that you would receive all the honor and glory as only thou art worthy. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You know, the life of Joseph is so amazing to me because when you begin to read it, it gives you actually coming attractions of what's to come in the New Testament. It also gives you a small glimpse of the tribulation. And everything that God has written in the Old Testament, it was for our own learning, for our own admonition. And we see also that he gives you truth that will continue throughout the whole Bible. God does not contradict himself. You know, when I first began to read the Bible, I began in the Old Testament. I didn't know much. Nobody had warned me or told me or guided me. And I read the first five books of the Old Testament, and I didn't understand a lot of things. Not until I went to the New Testament and began to see what had happened to Jesus. I knew he had died for our sins. I understood he was God Almighty, that he had paid for all our sins, but there was a lot of things I didn't know, I didn't understand, I was not raised with the Bible in my hand, so I didn't know too much. But right here at this point, Joseph, who is a tremendously strong type of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is standing here, he had already been rejected by his own brothers and sisters, or his own brothers, I would say. He had been rejected by them and sold, and that's what the Bible says about Jesus. The Bible says that he came into his own, and his own received him not. Joseph had already gone through tremendous temptations. He ran away from Potiphar's wife, trying to avoid it, and the Bible tells me also that Jesus was also tempted in all points, but he never sinned. Also, we see here that that Joseph at this particular time had already come out of prison. He had come out victorious. And of course, we know that when Jesus also came out of the grave after 3 days and three nights, He also came out victorious. He came with the keys of hell and of death in His hand. He had won the victory for us. But you know, Joseph is standing here now in my text, and he's being exalted now and being told, "You are now the commander-in-chief." And everybody in Egypt will now bow down to you. And the Bible tells me the same thing about Jesus, that there will be one day when every tongue is going to confess and every knee is going to bow that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We see here also that He's going to ride second chariot. He's going to be in command. Everything that He says will be done. He is also dressed in fine linen. And when Jesus rose from the dead and everything was said and done, He went to the Father, and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father of the Majesty on high until He comes again. And this is where we find Joseph. He is now standing here with everything that that you needed to have. He's got the ring of Pharaoh. He's got the necklace of gold. He's got the power and authority. Everything he says will go. But he's missing one thing. He doesn't have a bride. And all of a sudden, a bride is provided. And this is such a tremendous picture of the bride of Christ. The Bible tells us also that those who were saved, we are also the bride of Christ. And one day He's coming to take us to heaven. And also what we see is that that bride of Christ is coming from the Gentile nations. It's going to be like you and I. You're either a Jew or Gentile, and if you're not a Jew, of course, you are Gentile. But if you're saved, you now belong to the Church of Christ. You now belong to the Bride of Christ. So what we have here is a tremendous picture. When Asenath was introduced, is a tremendous picture of the Bride of Christ. And this is really what I want to speak to you this morning. There's several ladies in the book of Genesis. We find that there's actually three that really don't speak about the Church of Christ, the Bride of Christ. That would be Sarah, that would be Leah, that would be Rachel. They're more associated with Israel. But there's three ladies, three brides in Genesis that speak of the three different segments or three different stages of the Church of Christ, or rather of the Bride of Christ. And I will give you each one real quickly, and then I will elaborate on each one of them. The first one, of course, is Eve. Eve is a type of the creation of the church. Then you have Rebecca. Rebecca is a type of the calling of the church. We then have Asenath. And Asenath is a type of the coronation of the church. So what we have here is three different ladies representing three different stages of the Christian church. And the first one that I want to focus with, of course, is going to be Eve. She is a type of the creation of the church. And you know, when Eve was created, Adam was put to sleep. Not only was he put to sleep, but she also came out from his wounded side. And of course, that tells me also what Jesus went through. When He was crucified and they came to Him and they saw that He had already given up the ghost, you find this only in the book of John. He talks about that the soldier saw Him and He went ahead and wounded His side, and here comes the blood and the water. So we see that this is the creation, this is the foundation of the Christian church, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When He died for us, He paid for all our sins. Amen. The Bible says that it is the blood of Christ who cleanses you from all sin. So when Adam was put to sleep, and then Adam was wounded on the side, here comes the church. It is the creation of the church. And of course, what we see is that the blood that came out from Jesus when He was also wounded, that is what cleanses us. That is what puts you into the Church of Christ. We also see the water that came out. Nobody understands that, but what it means actually is that it is the water of life that gives you life. Jesus says, if you would come to Him, He will give you the water of life that leads into everlasting life. But we see here that the church started out first by putting Adam to sleep. But you know, the thing is, when Adam also arose, there was the most beautiful, most perfect woman this world has ever seen. No other man could see her. But all the birds and all the creation of the world, I'm sure they were saying, wow, what a woman. There was not a fault in her. There was no blame to put on her. Of course, later on, we know that she wound up falling just like all of us. But at this particular point, when Adam arose, he just saw the most beautiful woman standing right there by him. That was his bride. And of course, when the Lord takes us up to heaven, the Bible also tells you that we will also be blameless and unreprovable in His sight. Amen. So when God takes us up, He's taking us just like Eve was at the garden when she was created. Flawless, blameless, and unreprovable in His sight. What a tremendous picture of the creation of the church. But you know, later on we see also, this begins to unfold in Genesis 24. We see another young lady, another young bride. Her name is Rebecca. And you know, the story of Rebecca is extremely interesting because it was Abraham who wind up sending his servant. He says, go ye into the land and go bring me a bride for my son Isaac. And he gave him some instructions that are tremendously important, and they go throughout the scriptures. It resounds from cover to cover. The same story that he told her, the same instructions, is the same instructions that we also get in the New Testament. He told her, go and get me a wife for my son. But he also told him, and you'll find it if you want to search it later, in Genesis 24, verse 8. He told her, he says, and if the woman is not willing to go with thee, your hands will be freed from that oath. In other words, what God is saying is that this girl that had already been selected, and surely God selected it, God pointed out Rebecca, because when that servant went and he found her, he knew exactly which one to go for. God had already pointed it out. This is what she's going to do. She's going to do this and she's going to do that. She did everything. There was no doubt in the servant's mind. This is the one God has chosen for Isaac. But yet he had that command. He says, you ask her. And if she's not willing to go with you because you have a will, you have to make a decision or you're going to follow Christ. Just because you've been chosen and God chooses you, He calls you, but you still have the responsibility of saying, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I will follow. And this is exactly what the commandment that God gave to His servant. Now, when the servant showed up and he began to talk to her, the next thing you know, they take this servant all the way to the parents, or the father, rather, of Rebecca, so he can go and speak over there. And when he began to speak, he began to tell them, look, this is what it is. My master Abraham, he's extremely blessed of God. He has so many good things. God has blessed him so much. And all these things are going to belong to his son Isaac. Isaac will inherit all these things. And he told me to come and get a bride for him. And immediately, the father says, hey, here she is, take her. You see, he had already convinced the father that his daughter would be well taken care of. And isn't that the way we all are? We try to convince and dazzle the girlfriend that we want to marry. We want her also to follow us. So we also tell her about all the things we are and that we could be. I remember when I met my wife, I went to a dance. I had just came out of the army. And I spotted her, and immediately I locked eyes. I zeroed in on this girl. She was the most beautiful girl that I had ever seen. And of course, I went and danced with her, and I was trying to dazzle her and show her what a good dancer I am. She wasn't too impressed. Later on, I told her, look, I work and I make $20 a week. She was not impressed with that either. Then I took her outside later on, and I showed her my 19 throw-it-away Ford, and she was not too impressed with that either. She said, look, I'm looking for somebody that's tall, dark, and handsome, and all you are is just the dark. You're missing the other two parts. But you know, I was still wouldn't give up. And I went to go visit her, and I must have visited her about 40 times, man, in 2 weeks. I was trying not to be too obvious. And let me tell you, I had already chosen that girl to be my wife. No doubt in my mind. I had already chosen her, but I asked her, will you be my wife? And we won't get married until I get a good job that I can support you. You know, she could have told me no. I'm so glad that she told me, yes, I will. But if she had said, no, I won't, I would have walked away and never seen her again. And I'm just so thankful that our God is not like me. He is the God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance. And many times you won't come to God, but He'll come again and He'll extend His hand. And He's hoping that maybe this time you'll take it. And maybe you're here this morning and you haven't taken God's hand. You haven't repented of your sins. You haven't put your faith and trust in Him. He's calling you. That's what the Bible says, that He has called you and called you. He has had His hand extended all the day long, hoping that you will repent of your sins. But you know, I'm so glad that my wife said, I will follow you. I will marry you. And you know, this is the story that we're given here also. The servant also was told by the father, take her. She's yours, man. Just get out of here. He already knew she's going to be blessed. They were telling her, hey, sweetie, go on and multiply and become like the sand of the sea and have so many children and be the greatest nation on earth. They had no clue. But on the other hand, I'm thankful that the servant of God followed the instructions. Because later on, you see when he's talking, and then they approach her, and here comes Rebecca. And the father asks Rebecca, honey, will you go with this man? And she says, I will go. She had to say, yes, I will. And this is exactly what the Bible teaches you from cover to cover. He says, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. But he also tells you, but if you're not willing and you're disobedient, then you will not eat the fruit of the land. So God does give you the invitation, but it's up to you to make a decision. Just like Rebecca, she had to make a decision. When she came to that crossroad, she said, I will go. And this is what I had to do. God had already called me at the age of 16. Many of you already know my story. I had been thrown in jail. I was 16 years old. I had gotten into a fight. Of course, I was in the 1950s. Now they don't put you in jail. They just call mama and send you home. But at that time, they put you in jail. And during the time I was there for a couple of days, somebody came and gave me a Bible. And I read the whole New Testament minus the book of Revelation in those 2 days that I was there. I cried many times. I knew that that was the Word of God. There was no doubt in my mind. And I said, Lord, one day I want to return to your Word because I know this is your Word. 20 years later, at the age of 36, somebody came in and gave me a gospel tract. Shortly after that, 2 weeks later, I asked the Lord to save my soul. 20 years. The thing is that you don't know when in the next time you'll be called. You're being called this morning. God is definitely calling you. The gospel is very clear. He died and paid for all your sins. And He extends His hand. He wants everybody to be saved. He's not willing that anybody should perish. Nevertheless, if you don't grab His hand and put your faith and trust in Him, He'll just see you go away. Just like that rich young ruler that came to Jesus, you know the story, or some of you do. But this man finally walked away, and God did not grab him and said, "No, you're going with me." He just loved him as he went away. There's no doubt in my mind that God was hurting. He was crying inside his heart. He didn't want him to go away. But this is how most people are. I'm just thankful that the Lord called me, and He dazzled me with His greatness. He dazzled me with His love, how much He had loved me, how much He had done for me. He had sent His only begotten Son to go to the cross to die in my place. I'm so thankful that these things were written for our own learning and admonition. When you read the Word, even if you're an unbeliever, you come up with the idea that God is good. There's no doubt in my mind. If you would just read the Word and take Him at face value. But I want you to know something else, that this lady, Rebecca, when she decided, "I will go," she went. All she was going by is what she had heard. Nobody had proven her anything. They didn't show her a video of all the goods that Abraham had. Nobody gave her, "Look, this is all the riches, so you can see. This is the bank account, what they have. This is the number of all the cows that he owes." Nothing was told to her, only the words that she had to trust and go by faith. She had not seen Isaac either. Just like when you get saved, you haven't seen Jesus either. But Jesus tells you very plainly. He says, "Blessed is he who doesn't see and yet believes." This lady was a blessed lady. He hadn't seen Isaac. He didn't know whether the guy was a loser, whether the guy was ugly. She didn't know how old this guy was. She didn't know whether he was a lazy bum or nothing. Only went by the word that she was told. And of course, turns out that she made the right decision. I am only trusting in God's word. You know, when I asked the Lord to save my soul, I didn't hear any trumpets. I didn't see no angels rejoicing. The Bible tells me that they rejoice when one sinner repents, but I didn't see them. I didn't see everybody giving high fives. "Hey, that guy, finally he made it." No, none of that. All you do is you read the Word, you realize what God has done for you, for yourself, how He died for you, how much He loved you, and that is sufficient. And that's all I needed. And I also said, "I will go." You know, the Bible tells you that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He is not willing that any should perish. But just like my wife, if she had said no, I would have just gone away. Even though I had already chosen her, she could have very easily had turned away. Just like Rebecca had already been chosen, no doubt about it. Yet, she was given the opportunity, "Will you go with this man?" And she says, "I will go." Let me talk to you about the last lady, Asena. She is a picture of the coronation of the church. And as you well know, or maybe if you don't, but Egypt is an idolatrous, was and still is, an idolatrous country. This lady was from an idolatrous family. She was not known before or even after. Very little is spoken about her. Only three times her name appears. The thing is that this lady, all of a sudden, she came from nobody to being someone. She came from darkness and now she's in light. She came from death, and she walked into life. This lady was given to Joseph to be his bride. What a tremendous picture of the coronation of the church. She appears for just a little while and disappears real quickly. You only see her during the times of good. You don't see her during the times of the famine. You don't see her no more during that time. And of course, this is not written just by coincidence. Everything has its reason. God has its purpose. The reason you don't see her during the famine is because the church will not be here during the tribulation. She was seen only in the beginning. And she came and she was from an idolatrous family. But so were we. That's what the Bible tells you in Ephesians chapter 2. We also had our conversations in time past. We were also children of wrath. We were also without hope like this lady. We also came from darkness unto light. We also were out of the commonwealth of Israel. We were out of the the promises of God. We didn't have none of these things. This lady Asenath was not known at all. All of a sudden she shows up, and all of a sudden she receives a crown. She is the wife of the most powerful man in Egypt. And this is exactly what will happen to the church. We are nobody, but when you become a child of God, when you come into His family, when you become part of the bride of Christ, and even though it doesn't appear yet what we shall be, the thing is that Christ is coming for His church. He's coming for His bride. Whether you're ready or not, and when He comes, the Bible says He's coming as a thief in the night. Whether you've accepted Him or you're still contemplating or you're still waiting for the second time or the third time that He will come and call you, you might not make it. I would suggest very strongly as I can, that you don't wait any longer. Amen. That you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It is just pure grace that the Lord would come in and call you, and call you, and call you. I'm so glad He doesn't give up like me and you. If your wife had said, you know what, I don't want nothing to do with you, I don't want to marry you, you would have gone on your way too. I'm glad that Jesus doesn't give up. I'm glad that He will stay there and hoping up all the way till the end, just like He did with the thief on the cross. When He finally says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, He says, verily, verily, I tell you that today you will be with me in paradise. I'm thankful that we have a God like that. But let me tell you something else about Asenath. He doesn't tell you much about her. But that's also very significant. He doesn't tell you about her beauty. He doesn't tell you about all the good works she had done. He doesn't tell you about all the degrees that she had accomplished. Doesn't tell you that she was a humanitarian or that she did many good merits. He doesn't tell you that she had won a beauty contest or anything like that. And you know why he doesn't tell you that? It really doesn't matter. Your works will not matter. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've been or what you could have been. The only thing that matters is whether you are in the church, whether you are a bride of the groom, whether you have been born again. That's the only thing that matters. And that's why the Bible tells you that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. If you're here this morning and you're thinking, well, I still have to accomplish this. I still have to perform this law. I still have to straighten out my life. You never will. You never will. You'll never be perfect. If somebody hasn't told you that, you never will. Jesus told one guy, He says, there is none good. He told that to the rich young ruler. The Bible is very plain. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you know, it also tells you, choose you this day whom you will serve. Very plain. And He also tells you at the end, come to the waters of life. They're free. Just take the water of life. Repent of your sins. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. This lady was not known. She was not famous. And that's the way it is with the church, with the bride of Christ. We are not known. Matter of fact, we are actually hated in this life. This lady, they might have hated her. Nobody knows. The thing is that she obviously is a picture of the church. And what we see is that she accepted the invitation to become the bride of Joseph. There's no doubt in my mind that Joseph also asked her, "Will you be my wife?" He probably learned that from his grandparents, from Rebecca, who might have told him, "Grandson, let me tell you, this is the way it is." No doubt about it that he learned some things before he was sold into slavery. He learned the proper way and how you should marry somebody, even though the hand has been given, even though they have given you this to wife. You still would have to ask her. That's exactly what God proposed. That's exactly what He demands. And if they say, "No, I am not willing to follow," your hands are cleaned from the blood of everyone. And this is exactly what took place. Very important. And no doubt about it, the Lord right now is calling you. If you're here and you're not saved, He's extending His hand. He's trying to dazzle you with His goodness. He's telling you He sent His only begotten Son to the cross to die for you, to shed His precious blood. And if you would just take Him, He will take you to heaven when you die. On the other hand, if you're not willing, if you're disobedient, you have been called. You will not have an excuse. Jesus tells you that in that day, He says, many will come to Me and they will say, "But Lord, didn't we say, Lord, Lord? Didn't we do wonderful things in Your name?" And He says, "Depart from Me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Very important. Don't pass the opportunity. Don't walk out these doors without asking the Lord to save your soul. You're not going to hear any bells ringing. You're not going to hear no angel introducing himself to you and tell you, "Hey, you're in." It's all by faith. Just like Rebecca just said, "I will go." It was all by faith. Salvation's by faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. So just because you come to church, or just because your parents are saved, or your brother or sister or somebody is saved, don't think that you will also be contaminated with salvation and somehow you'll make it. Some churches teach that if you can't make it through the front door, you go out the back door and somebody will open the door. No such thing. You can only come through the door, and Jesus Christ says, "I am the door." Amen. You can only come through the way, and Jesus says, "I am the way." You can only come through His giving you life, and He says, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. That's Jesus making that statement. You can only come through Jesus. That's who we're representing to you this morning. That's who we recommend to the whole world. It is only through the name of Jesus that you can be saved. I just pray that even while you're sitting there, that if you have not trusted Christ, you can just bow your head and say with a contrite heart, and a broken spirit, God will not reject it. He tells you that in His Word. And He will honor it. If you would just repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Him, He will save you. It doesn't matter how long you've been coming to church, or because they brought you here by force. You can ask the Lord to save your soul, and He will give you eternal life. Don't let this opportunity pass. Because you don't know if He'll call you again tomorrow or any other day. This might be the last day that you'll be here on earth. We never know. We don't know if the trumpet will sound even this day. If the Lord will take the church out of this world. You don't know. You don't want to stay behind. Ask the Lord to save your soul. We're going to sing song 249, and the altar will be open. You want to do business with God, you can come to the altar. You want to get saved, you can come here and pray. Come and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He says not to be ashamed of Him. Amen. You're ashamed of Him. He says, I will be ashamed of you. Ask the Lord to save your soul. 249.